Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It is December 16th, 2015, and here's a look at our top stories.
Tonight, highlights from the GOP debate as Donald Trump exposed how the Bush family helped the Bin Ladens escape after 9/11.
When you had the World Trade Center go, people were put into planes that were friends, family, girlfriends, and they were put into planes and they were sent back for the most part to Saudi Arabia.
Meanwhile, the corporate media continues to insist that the Bush Bin Laden connection is just a conspiracy theory, just like the Bush Nazi connection that's been confirmed in the U.S. National Archive and Library of Congress. All that plus much more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
If he tells you he's a thief, if he tells you he's going to steal your rights, he's going to steal your damn rights.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new, groundbreaking, gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Coming up later in our show, we'll have a top financial expert telling us what the Fed rate hike really means. But first, we have some breaking news out of Baltimore, where Paul Joseph Watson reports that some Black Lives Matter supporters are threatening to riot after a mistrial in the Freddie Gray case. We go to Leanne McAdoo for more.
Leanne McAdoo with InfoWars.com. I'm here with some breaking news. A mistrial has been declared in the case of Baltimore police officer William Porter in the death of 25-year-old Freddie Gray. Now, the jury had been deadlocked on this decision. The judge did tell the jury to go on and continue deliberating, but after they were unable to come to a unanimous decision on the four charges the officer was facing, the judge did declare it a mistrial. Now, Porter was charged with involuntary manslaughter, second-degree assault, reckless endangerment, and misconduct in office. Freddie Gray suffered a broken neck and severe spinal cord injury in the back of a police transport van after his arrest on April 12th. Officer William Porter was the driver of that van. Now, according to statements from Porter's defense attorney, he said that Porter acted under proper protocol to help Gray. He did not neglect him, as the prosecution has portrayed. For the last 2 weeks of this trial, prosecutors have been accusing Porter of knowingly ignoring Gray, not taking his pleas for medical help seriously. Now, Freddie Gray was handcuffed and shackled, but he was not strapped into a seat. And they are saying that this is what a factor that led to his death from a severe spinal injury. Now attorneys are going to have to decide if they're going to take this to a retrial, and it's unclear if that retrial of Officer William Porter is going to affect the trial dates for the other five officers who are scheduled to be tried separately and consecutively beginning January 6th. Now, Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake has activated Baltimore City's Emergency Operations Center. This is in preparation for protests. In a statement, the mayor asked the city to remain unified, respect the outcome of the judicial process. She said, we want to respect the rights of those to demonstrate peacefully while acknowledging that the city is prepared to protect neighborhoods, businesses, and the people of Baltimore should the reaction from today's decision get out of hand. Now, police have already arrested several protesters on the scene today. The police from around the Baltimore region arrived. They began assembling. Tuesday, they had riot gear. They've cleared out jail space in the case of mass arrests taking place. But political and community leaders are issuing calls for calm and peaceful protests. So stay tuned to InfoWars.com. We'll bring you more as this story develops.
And of course, we'll continue to monitor this and may even dispatch some InfoWars out there if things get any worse. Hopefully things will calm down and the cooler heads will prevail. Now, we're going to go to the special report from John Bound documenting various activities of the CIA and then on to the debate coverage. You guys know we had the live debate coverage last night, so we'll give you some of those highlights. And then coming up later in the show, don't forget we have Alex Jones, Sean Waltzman, and Harry Dent all coming up right after this.
I mean, this is why Trump is so awesome. I mean, he really is awake to the new world order, supposedly behind the scenes. I'll just say that and leave it at that. Inside baseball. That's what I mean. Who else would come back like that at the Bushes and the Clintons calling them criminals?
And
this
the Saudis.
You guys go back to your live feeds. We've got to go back on the DVR, grab that and play that clip again. That is sensational. That's what we should write about, is that Trump brings out the fact that the Bushes protected the bin Ladens.
Right. Yeah, they wanted to go after him, saying, you know, you want to go after the families of these ISIS members. And he's absolutely right. Well, should we protect him like your brother did?
Well, I mean, getting past arresting people's family members or going after him or whatever, and I'm not even endorsing that, is that Trump would come back with hardcore 9/11 truth, which is a fact.
Exactly.
All other aircraft are grounded. Everything else is shut down for 2 days. The bin Ladens are flying around getting out of the country.
When you had the World Trade Center go, people were put into planes that were friends, family, girlfriends, and they were put into planes and they were sent back for the most part to Saudi Arabia. They knew what was going on. They went home and they wanted to watch their boyfriends on television. In my opinion,
Heckler
spent $4 trillion trying to topple various people that, frankly, if they were there and if we could have spent that $4 trillion in the United States to fix our roads, our bridges, and all of the other problems, our airports, and all of the other problems we have, we would have been a lot better off. I can tell you that right now.
Yep.
We have done a tremendous disservice.
Instead of bombing all their kids and their brides.
Not only to the Middle East, we've done a tremendous disservice to humanity. The people that have been killed, the people that have been wiped away, and for what? It's not like we had victory. It's a mess. The Middle East is totally destabilized, a total and complete mess. I wish we had the $4 trillion or $5 trillion. I wish it was spent right here in the United States on our schools, hospitals, roads, airports, and everything else that are all falling apart.
I didn't agree with everything he said tonight, but that was a pretty good answer.
That was a great answer, and it actually even got some applause from the Republicans, the hand-picked Republicans they've got.
I know.
There's a group of moderate Muslims right there that all believe in Sharia law, and they all claim to be moderate. They all claim you should have your hands cut off if you steal. And
wives should be beaten.
And they're all happy about it. I mean, they admit it, which is fine. That's their beliefs. I mean, but let's just all be truthful about what they really believe in.
And let's understand
what they want to turn America into.
Exactly. And let's understand that what they're talking about is not strictly a religion. It is a religion that is connected inextricably to a political system and a rule of law. That's what they're talking about. They want to have civil penalties if you violate their religion. That is anathema to what we have in America.
Mm-hmm.
We have separation of religion because we saw the abuses that happened in Europe when Christianity got allied with this particular king or with that particular church. We saw what happened. And we said we don't want to have that anymore. And
right.
For the same reason, we don't want to have Islam here doing that same kind of combination of politics and religion.
Right. Are having Sharia courts right alongside, you know, the constitutional courts. And then Saudi Arabia is beheading people who dare speak against Islam.
We need a president who's going to understand what actionable intelligence looks like and act on it. And we need a president and a cabinet who understands that the first and most important priority of the President of the United States is to protect the safety and security of America.
No, it isn't.
As someone who
You're disqualified. You have an oath to the Constitution, and the oath to the Constitution says, and the Declaration of Independence says, you are created to protect our freedoms.
Right.
Not to keep us safe. They didn't want safety. They wouldn't have rebelled against the strongest government in the world if their first priority was safety. Their first priority was liberty. They created a government to protect that. I'm sick of these people.
And Marco has opposed at every point increased security, border security for those who come to our country. On his Gang of Eight bill, he would have liberalized immigration, but he did not, and he steadfastly opposed any new border security requirements for refugees or students. Last week, I introduced another bill saying we need more security, we need more scrutiny. Once again, Marco opposed this. So Marco can't have it both ways. He thinks he wants to be this, oh, I'm great and strong on national defense, but he's the weakest of all the candidates on immigration. He is the one for an open border that is leaving us defenseless. If we want to defend the country, we have to defend against who's are coming in. And Marco has more of an allegiance to Chuck Schumer and to the liberals than he does to conservative policy.
Do you really think that Republicans have fueled the rise of ISIS?
Yeah, where's she been? Who is she?
The allies of ISIS, the Islamic rebels against Assad, that we created a safe space or made that space bigger for ISIS to grow. I think those who have wanted regime change have made a mistake. When we toppled Gaddafi in Libya, I think that was a mistake. I think ISIS grew stronger. We have a failed state and we are more at risk. I'd like to also go back to, though, another question, which is Donald Trump a serious candidate? The reason I ask this is, if you're going to close the internet, realize, America, what that entails. That entails getting rid of the First Amendment, okay? It's no small feat. If you are going to kill the families of terrorists, realize that there's something called the Geneva Convention we're going to have to pull out of. It would defy every norm that is America. So
good.
When you ask
yourself, now they're
going
to have a debate on the free on free speech. This is going to be good because they'll give Trump a chance to come back and explain himself.
Are you going to change the Constitution?
Mr. Trump.
We should be able to penetrate the internet and find out exactly where ISIS is and everything about ISIS.
Except that's exactly what China does.
Right.
You shut down the internet, and of course, maybe we could trace it back. Yeah. Exactly. Find out how to penetrate it. Find out who's using it. They just did that today. They found out that the ISIS social media was traced back to a British government office. We know what's going on. We know these guys are running ISIS. And when they talk about shutting down freedom of speech, he just repeated the exact same stuff he said in his speech. Even talking about how you don't refer to these people as masterminds, he knows precisely what he's saying. And he's calling on the press to be more precise in what they say.
Well, ISIS is on Twitter and Facebook and all this other stuff. You know, and they have the ability to shut them down on those websites if they so choose. I definitely don't agree with that statement from Trump that he said.
Facebook has no problem censoring our articles, but they leave up an ISIS beheaded video.
Yes. If you're going to have freedom of speech, like any free market, you do not use the government to shut down portions of it. You use the free market to put your point across. And if we're going to take that tact, if we're going to say we're going to shut down this part of the internet over here, we're no different from China.
Mm-hmm.
And once you censor the internet, you have established the principle, you will censor everything.
Exactly.
When a politician tells you that he's going to take away your freedom of speech, believe him. He's going to take it away.
Right.
It's not a fantasy. Don't pretend. They lie to you all the time. Don't lie to yourself about what a politician is going to do. If he tells you he's a thief, if he tells you he's going to steal your rights, he's going to steal your damn rights. No question about it. He'll keep that promise. Yeah. Americans have adopted the mindset of slaves. They want to be protected. They want to be kept safe. They're nothing more than the Moloi, or what was the name of the pink little things in H.G. Wells' Time Machine?
Eloy.
Eloy, yeah, exactly. These are a bunch of Morlocks, and the American people are a bunch of Eloy. Okay? They want to be kept safe.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? When they talk about serving America, you're on the menu.
Filed under What's Old is New Again are the alarming steps Michael Springman, a high-level State Department official, took to inform the federal government that unqualified foreign applicants were being issued visas prior to 9/11. In Saudi Arabia, I was repeatedly ordered by high-level State Department officials to issue visas to unqualified applicants, Springman told the BBC prior to the 9/11 attack. These were essentially people who had no ties either to Saudi Arabia or to their own country. I complained bitterly at the time there. I returned to the U.S. I complained to the State Department here, to the General Accounting Office, to the Bureau of Diplomatic Security, and to the Inspector General's office. I was met with silence.
Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Fast forward approximately 15 years later, and Obama sounds like a broken record being played in an empty hall.
Meanwhile, here at home, the Department of Homeland Security is updating its alert system to help the American people stay vigilant and safe. And as always, our extraordinary men and women in uniform continue to put their lives on the line in this campaign.
Meanwhile, the Mirror UK reports hackers have claimed that a number of Islamic State supporters' social media accounts are being run from internet addresses linked to the Department of Work and Pensions. The hacking collective showed Mirror Online details of the IP addresses used by a trio of separate digital jihadis to access Twitter accounts, which were then used to carry out online recruitment and propaganda campaigns. At first glance, the IP addresses seem to be based in Saudi Arabia, but upon further inspection using specialist tools, they appeared to link back to the Department of Work and Pensions. The British government has admitted selling large numbers of internet addresses to Saudi Arabia, but has refused to reveal how much it has earned from the transaction. Although the government announced plans to auction its surplus IP numbers, it can now be revealed that a chunk of them went to Saudi Telecom and the Saudi-based mobile telecommunications company. Of course, the inept, record-breaking, tax-sucking behemoth known as the U.S. federal government, with all of its trillions spent on surveilling the average American's phone calls, emails, and browser history, and storing it all in a huge database guarded by psychotic thugs, can't be bothered with monitoring the social media of potential terrorists entering the United States. The Hill reports, Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson decided against ending a secret U.S. policy that prohibits immigration officials from reviewing social media posts of foreigners applying for U.S. visas. A DHS spokesman told ABC News that in the fall of 2014, the department began three pilot programs to include social media in vetting, but officials say it's still not a widespread policy and review is underway. Could the massacre that occurred in San Bernardino have been prevented had the feds actually done what most Americans thought they'd been doing all along? Probably not. The TSA can barely do their job, sporting a pathetic 95% failure rate. The status quo is tearing into two separate realities. The arrogant, compulsive fabrication the criminals in Washington, D.C. are still hawking, and another reality that for most Americans is a big pill to swallow. The growing evidence that layers of a $1 trillion shadow government's nefarious inner workings are exponentially coming to light. For many Americans, admitting that your president is a traitor, based upon all of the evidence, is difficult to look squarely in the eye.
You know, George W. Bush, after he staged 9/11 with his daddy, he said, "You're either with us or with those Al-Qaeda terrorists they hired on record." Well, I got news for the New World Order. You're either with humanity or you're against us, and we're coming.
John Bound for Infowars.com.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well, and he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, "Wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype." And I said, "Here, take some home, try it." Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, "I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing." He said, "Why does it work so well?" And I said, "Listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself."
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Shane noticed the mental clarity, Bobby was able to work out longer and gain muscle mass. He's already completely shredded. I gotta admit, for me, the biggest effect has been libido. Now, I've never claimed to have a body like some beach model, but back when I was 20, 22 years old and worked out every day, I looked great. But over the years, and being married, having three kids, and working 18 hours a day, I gained basically 100 pounds. And it's been a long process losing that weight in the last 4 years. But if you look at the photos and the videos of what I looked like 4 or 5 years ago versus today, the results are dramatic. I'd already cleaned up my diet. I was working out hard, but I'd only lost about 20 pounds. It was adding the other key ingredients from InfoWarsLife.com that helped me personally go to the next level and shed another 35 pounds.
This has actually made me feel so good that here lately, about a year ago, I started training jiu-jitsu, and that kind of led to doing some boxing and kickboxing. I mean, it's amazing that 2 years ago, I was on the couch and couldn't even tie my shoes, and now I'm training with MMA fighters and just doing stuff that I never thought that I would be doing ever again. So Super Male Vitality has allowed me to do some amazing things, and if it has those kind of effects for me, I know that it will do great things for you. So just try Super Male Vitality. I promise you, you'll love it.
And finally, let's look at Anthony Gucciardi, InfoWars.com reporter. He also works with Dr. Group and others, helping develop the newest, most cutting-edge, high-quality supplements. Let's take a look at what happened when he tried to barefoot ski for the first time with the Steiners. And remember, we're not making fun of him. He had the will to get in the arena, and he's lost more than 10 pounds in the last few years of fat and gained more than 10 pounds of muscle. And Anthony chalks it up to Super Male Vitality as well. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
I've been an investigative reporter and a journalist for 35 years. I've worked in every major media market in the United States, and I've written for more than 100 newspapers and magazines nationally and internationally. So last September 17th, I became the first journalist in U.S. history to go to the U.S. National Archives and the Library of Congress and pore over the thousands of pages of documents in both places to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt or any refutation of the facts that Prescott Bush, the grandfather of George W. Bush, and George Herbert Walker, his maternal great-grandfather for whom his daddy is named, were Nazi traitors to the country who should have been tried for treason. Prescott Bush was the grandfather of George W. Bush and the father of George Herbert Walker Bush, and George Herbert Walker Bush is named for his father-in-law, George Herbert Walker. Prescott Bush graduated from Yale in 1917 and was in Skull and Bones with E. Roland Harriman, who was the younger brother of W. Averill Harriman. The Bush family really had nothing going. They were essentially social climbers and opportunistic people. At the time that Prescott Bush met Dorothy Walker, he was a tire salesman. And George Herbert Walker, as all fathers do when their daughter's going to marry someone, said in his heart, you know, it's not an appropriate thing socially that my daughter marry a tire salesman. So he brought Prescott Bush first into Brown Brothers Harriman and then Union Banking Corporation. In actuality, it was anything but a bank. It was essentially a Nazi money laundering operation that had a lot of tentacles into a lot of different other businesses. They owned a shipping line called Hamburg American Line, for example, which was the first Nazi front business seized, although the line was no longer operational in 1942. In the early 1930s, it transported Nazi spies into the U.S., and then their promotional ads offered cash rewards to any American citizens who would go back on Hamburg American lines and proselytize for Hitler. 8 months after the U.S. had entered the war, the New York Herald Tribune ran a front page article, "Hitler's Angel has 3 million in U.S. bank." and it caused a major scandal and just rocked the world of politics. Brown Brothers Harriman, which George Herbert Walker and Prescott Bush were affiliated with and partners in, worked with IG Farben, which operated Auschwitz. Prescott Bush, he did a number of things that were not only anti-American, but were pro-Hitler, and he did all that he could to proselytize for Hitler and the rise of his Third Reich, because the largest client, Fritz Thiessen, of his patron, W. Averill Harriman, dictated what kind of behavior he would practice to enhance his own career. So he was put on the board of directors of Union Banking Corporation, and he was also a shareholder in Union Banking Corporation along with E. Roland Harriman. But what's interesting about what the documents show is that they clearly state that all of the shareholders were phantom shareholders for Fritz Thiessen and did his bidding directly. So the point I'm making is it's not as if they bought these shares of stock as a passive investment to hopefully profit from the war. They were directly doing the bidding of the individual who built the Nazi war machine. Some very shocking documents that I saw at the Library of Congress 2 weeks ago on August 10th. Had to do with the hearings of the McCormick-Dickstein Committee of November 1934, show that Prescott Bush and the DuPont family, the Remington family, and J.P. Morgan tried to overthrow the U.S. government, assassinate FDR, and put a Hitler-style fascist state in place. I have in my possession testimony from the McCormick-Dickstein Committee in November of 1934 by one of the fascist plotters that they were going to follow Hitler's model exactly and impose martial law on the United States, round up unemployed people that were worthless to the economy and troublemakers and Jews and put them into internment camps. And their plan was, if necessary, to exterminate the people that could not be part of the effort. The only reason the coup attempt in 1934 didn't succeed is that they hired the wrong general to lead it, General Smedley Butler, the great Marine hero, two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner, who worked with the plotters just long enough to be able to identify who they were and then blew the whistle on them to Congress. Incredibly, after being warned by the FBI and the Justice Department and the Treasury Department to cease and desist in their Nazi dealings, they had continued them until 1951. There had been 28 additional seizures of Nazi assets and Nazi business fronts between late 1942 and 1951, and that they had moved Nazi assets into Switzerland, Brazil, Argentina, and Panama, and they had continued to do business with their primary Nazi patron, who was Fritz Thiessen, who backed Hitler beginning in 1921 and who was the wealthiest man in Germany, and a steel and coal baron who, with his partner Friedrich Flick, essentially built the Nazi war machine along with IG Farben. In 1951, when Fritz Thiessen died in Argentina, Union Banking Corporation was liquidated by the U.S. government, and Prescott Bush received $1.5 million for his holdings in his Nazi business, and that was the beginning of the Bush family fortune for all intents and purposes. Schwarzenegger is the son of a Nazi. He has praised Nazis. He has praised Hitler. He talked last night in terms like, we will not falter, we will not waver, we will win this war on terror.
He's a leader who doesn't flinch, who doesn't waver, and does not back down.
Well, that's exactly the speeches that Hitler made after the Reichstag fire. Terrorism and the homeland being under attack are precisely the issues that Hitler used to subvert everything within the German system of government. This is a criminal regime. They not only emulate Hitler, but its genesis comes from Hitler. And I defy anyone, a historian, journalist, author, anyone, to come forward and disprove my premise that you cannot differentiate Hitler's invasion of Poland in 1939 and the Reichstag fire and his attempt to dominate the world from George W. Bush's unprovoked invasion of Iraq and subversion of the Constitution through the Patriot Act after 9/11, which I submit is his Reichstag fire. Karl Rove and his minions are every bit the masters of propaganda that Joseph Goebbels was. They literally took lessons from Goebbels and Goering about how to create such brilliant propaganda that unreality can become reality, and reality can be subverted to fantasy political subterfuge right before your eyes. So there's just an endless broken record that is leading up to the present era, that the Bush family has had a single goal for 100 years, which is to become the most powerful family on the planet and to rule the world. It's critical that every citizen of this country rise up and do something, because the day of reckoning is at hand, and these people are Nazis. They are practicing Nazi philosophy. They are mimicking Nazi tactics, and time is running out.
The Federal Reserve is a private banking cartel.
Yeah, Fed is a sometimes very independent organization.
What should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
The Federal Reserve is an independent agency. There is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
They print our money and then loan it to us at interest. The IRS is their collection agency.
So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter.
Jeff Duncan says he saw IRS special agents using semi-automatic rifles at a gun range. Now he wants answers to why the agency needs that type of firepower.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world? The central bankers in charge.
Know your history and you will know your enemy. Infowars.com.
I'm not gonna sit here and take it anymore.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancakes.
Well, pancaking almost like a precision implosion.
It's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before, when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
All non-essential personnel, move away from that collapse.
You guys have the exclusive for, which is a product called Deep Cleanse. And why I'm so excited about it is it's a unique formula, almost like the iodine crystals. We have two unique products that nobody in the world has. One of the most amazing ingredients in the world, and it's called Shilajit, and it's actually known as blood of the mountain or rock sweat, because thousands of years ago, as a matter of fact, this ingredient was only given to the elite of the elite. Thousands of years ago, up in the Himalayan mountains and in Tibet.
And we wanted to put this in stuff for a couple years, but we couldn't get an organic form.
Right. I mean,
so let's explain. I mean, this stuff's so good, we couldn't put it out for years.
Right. So I had to actually, it's kind of like the iodine crystals, finding a source deep in the earth that we could get the cleanest source available. But in Tibet and in Nepal and in the Himalayan mountains, thousands of years ago, they watched these monkeys, and during the summer months, the monkeys would go up into the mountains.
Now you're being racist against monkeys.
And they would pick this black substance from the mountains. And so, in Russia, they actually, it grows in Russia in the mountains and in the Himalayas and only in the summer. And Shilajit is actually the decomposition of up to 7,000 different medicinal herbs. So it decomposes, all these different herbs decompose in the Himalayan mountains and the volcanic soil up there. And what happens in the summertime.
So it's almost like an oil from.
Yes, it's high in fulvic acid, it's high in humic acid.
Because they're always claiming oil is really from decomposed animals and plants. There is some oil that is based from fossils, but most of it's really abiotic. But so this is a true fossil source? I mean, explain it to me.
It is it's really the decomposition, like I said, of over 7,000 different medicinal herbs and plants, and with the rocks and the pressure deep in the mountains, it freezes and during the summertime and the pressures build it up.
It oozes out.
It oozes out. So it literally oozes out of the mountain.
It's like rock sap.
It's like rock sap. It's black and it's highly nutritious. Even in the 1980s, when the Olympic athletes in Russia were accused of being on steroids, they found out that they were actually been given Shilajit because it works as an anabolic as well, and it builds muscles. It's a big dose in there. The second big main ingredient in there is a volcanic zeolite concentrate. And what this formula is designed to do, the Shilajit and the zeolites have a real strong negative charge. All the metals and chemicals and PCBs and VOCs have positive charges. So these go in, they grab it, and then they safely eliminate it through the body so you can become healthy. I mean, this is an amazing formula. I wish I actually had it, but because this was an exclusive InfoWars Life product, you're the only one in the world that has this formula now. And, you know, there is going to be a limited supply available when you sell out because you can only harvest this once a year.
How do people take it? How is it recommended that this be done? Just a daily dose?
Yeah, daily dose. The instructions are on the label. You know, of course, I kind of modify it for each individual. It depends on what your lifestyle is. I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is for you to avoid all these chemicals and toxins in your environment and try to identify them and start slowly reducing them. But personally, I'm going to probably take it every day, every other day, and I'll probably go with about a dropper full to maybe two dropper fulls. And I don't expose myself to any chemicals.
InfoWarsLife.com. Please also support our local AM and FM affiliates. Support their local sponsors or become a sponsor and spread the word. Because these aren't just great products. This is how we fund this independent operation. We're not taxpayer funded like MSNBC or NPR, and neither is your local station. So support them, folks. This is a war.
We've heard from the politicians, we've heard from the pundits, and now it's our opportunity to hear what the celebrities have to say about the most recent GOP debate. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us, Sean.
Oh, thank you, Jakari.
Now, I'd love having you on. Now, before I go into your tweets, this is how I, you know, found out how active you were in this debate. Was there a clear winner or a loser in your mind with this most recent GOP debate?
I'd say the Democrats were the winners last night.
That's a good point.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know. I guess I just got so distracted by all the BS I was hearing, you know. I'm just an average person, you know. I'm not inside baseball and the, you know, Beltway and all that stuff. It just I have followed politics for a long time and, you know, enough to know, you know, what's going on. And I don't know. You know, a lot of people were saying Ted Cruz won, and I find too much wrong with pretty much everybody running. I mean, Rand Paul's the guy I want to root for. And even he, I mean, I don't know what's going on with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As far as last night, I think Rand had a stronger showing than he had in, you know, some of the more previous debates, but you know, but I agree, you know, he could be a little stronger. I'll take a look at some of your tweets here. I have them here laying out on the desk. And one of the ones you have is directed to Trump. It says, "You're correct, Mr. Trump. Drugs will not come through your wall. They'll go over and around it." Of course, this is referring to the statement. He'll say, saying he's going to build the best wall you've ever seen. You know, he knows how to build. I guess he's referring to his casinos and all that. And it seems like you don't take that promise too seriously.
Well, I mean, they will. They'll go around it. They'll go above it. They'll go below it. They're going to get into this country as long as there's demand for it.
Agreed.
I lived in Mexico for 4 years. I have a pretty good idea of what's going on with the American people, or the Mexican people.
It's pretty much common sense.
It's good. It sounds good to some people, but I don't think it's realistic.
I agree with that, you know, because I just see the wall. It's another never-ending construction project. You know, it's all kinds of fallacies. There's that movie just came out, Sicario. I don't know if you had a chance to see that, but it's basically about how they dig a tunnel, you know, to sneak things in and out of the United States, and it's not that difficult to do, especially if you have the time. But the comments weren't directed just at Trump. You also have another one here to Chris Christie. We don't have anything to hide, quoting Governor Christie from the American people. God. And I thought that was quite laughable as well. And you're saying, of course, you can't be serious when they say that they have nothing to hide from the American people.
Yeah, and I said, Shirley, you can't be serious. And I will call you Shirley. My airplane movie reference that probably nobody's getting right now.
Oh, I got it. I got it.
But, no, I mean, I think that's completely laughable. I mean, Chris Christie, he's just, you know, the guy's a really draconian, type, governor, and from my point of view, I'm not a big fan of his at all. And for, you know, and I, you know, how many times do we got to hear about he's, you know, that he's, he was a federal prosecutor and this mm-hmm. and that. And, I don't know. I just thought that was a really, really, ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah. And also he was, you know, threatening to shoot down the Russian jets. Now, of course, we're not cheerleading for Russia. We're not cheerleading for Putin or anything like that. But when you say pretty cavalierly, yeah, I'd just go shoot him down, you know, like he's duck hunting. That's really not exactly the kind of guy I want to see in office.
It's easy to sit on a stage and say that to a group of, to a captive audience that's there to see you, you know, and you know, shares a lot of your same beliefs. But come on, you can't run a country like that, especially like, I mean, I was overseas when that whole thing went down and with Turkey shooting down the Russian jet. You know, when you're not here in this country, you get a whole different, view. The news, everything is different, you know, when I was overseas.
How so?
Just like the amount of things, you know, they didn't really report much on Fox News here or CNN or anything. You know, you really didn't, hear that, the Russian jet had its own, the Russians had their own flight trajectory that showed the Russian, jet, going around Turkish airspace. Whether that was a lie or not, you know, who knows? But you never even saw it reported here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do agree. I do agree. And last but certainly not least, you had a jab at Jeb, and you quoted him as he was saying that he wasn't an expert, and you co-signed that.
Yeah, Jeb Bush was, as far as governors go in the state of Florida, I'm a Floridian, and he seemed like an okay governor, but, you know, I think that George W. was considered an okay governor in Texas, too.
Yes, he was.
I don't think that worked out too well for us, you know, so.
Well, we see the whole Bush family, you know, like I said, I'm not on the Trump bandwagon, but Trump did point out when they asked him about, you know, how he treats families of terrorist suspects, and he pointed out very quickly that the Bush family flew out the Bin Ladens on 9/11. And Jeb's response to that was basically say that disqualifies you from running because you dare talk about my brother.
Yeah, you dare tell the truth. And just like when Trump said, when he pretty much called in like the first debate, he just called everybody on stage out and said, you are all,
controlled.
Controlled and owned by your donors, by the people that are giving you the money. And nobody could, not one of them could say, no, I'm not. Not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I remember.
Yeah, I agree with that, because that was the thing that was most notable to me about that debate, because everybody talks about, you know, how he got in a fight with Megyn Kelly and Rosie O'Donnell and all this other stuff. Yeah. But when he said, basically, he's the guy who calls him up on the phone at 3 a.m. saying, hey, I donated money to your campaign. This is what I need you to do for me. And they say, how high do you want me to jump, Mr. Trump? That's very notable.
Yes, because he was the guy that was doing the donating at one time. He's, you know, he's had these people in his pocket before. So it's really hard for them to deny it, you know?
Absolutely.
And look, I'm not defending some of the rhetoric that Donald Trump uses. And, you know, like a lot of people will, if you say anything good about him, will immediately jump down your throat, unfollow you on Twitter or whatever. But
yes.
Like I've met him before, you know, he's mm-hmm. in the WWE Hall of Fame. You know, he's a cool guy. He's been to the shows and, been sitting front row at the Garden several times when we wrestled. He's always been really cool, but man, some of that, you know, banning Muslims and all this stuff. I mean, and that does hit, you know, hit home with a lot of people here, but I mean, I just think it's not good.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I've had similar experiences. Like you say something good or bad about a certain candidate, people want to jump down your throat. Like I said, I'll follow you on Twitter and all that stuff. Now, real quick, we have about 2 minutes left. You touched on the war on drugs, and, you know, and that's something that's very interesting to our audience. And I'm just curious, do you have any thoughts and views on the war on drugs? Do you think it's a success, a failure? Should it be ended, continued? Any thoughts on that?
That's kind of almost a rhetorical question at this point, isn't it, Jakari? I think anybody in their right mind realizes the war on drugs is a complete failure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also something that disqualifies a lot of these candidates for me. I know a lot of people go, oh, that's not a good reason to disqualify somebody. But, you know, if it, I, look, just like Carly Fiorina, you know, when she says that a joint is worse than a, you know, than smoking pot is worse than drinking alcohol, that is a ridiculous statement. Anybody that knows anything on the subject these days knows that's completely false.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to say stuff like that, just to pander towards, you know, certain members of the party you're running for the nomination of, you know, I don't dig you. And, and also, you know, I hear talking about, I know, Vladimir Putin, you spent 45 minutes with him. I met Donald Trump more than once. Doesn't mean I know him. You don't know him, Miss Fiorina. You met him once. Come on.
Yeah, I agree. Just like we saw John McCain talking about, I know who all these Syrian rebels are. Meanwhile, he's hanging out with Al-Qaeda over
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
It's all those things like that. Now, Sean, our time is short. We got about 30 seconds left. Can you tell us, you know, what people can do to keep up with you and your work?
You can just follow me at The Real X-Pac.
Thank you so much, Sean.
Thank you. Thank you, Jakari. I appreciate you having me on.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for. You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and could not be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosyl cobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
Earlier today, I had a chance to speak to Harry Dent after he appeared on the Alex Jones Show, and he dropped some major financial news that you do not want to miss. And welcome back. Our guest tonight is Harry Dent. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Dent. You are the founder of Dent Research, and your most recent book is The Demographic Cliff. We definitely appreciate you joining us here in Austin.
Yeah, nice to be here.
All right. Now, I know you didn't have a chance to watch the debate, and you really didn't miss that much, and I'll be quite honest with you. But, you know, with candidates out there, does anybody have an economic plan that you can get a hold of?
You know, I don't see it because Republicans think if you lower taxes, you're going to get economic growth. We've already seen a bubble in debt and overgrowth and overinvestment. We don't need that. That's the wrong solution at this time. Normally, that would be a good solution. We need a massive debt restructuring. That's politically unacceptable for either party. I see a crisis happening in 2016 and beyond. This whole bubble's going to collapse after keeping it going for years and years with free money and irresponsible fiscal monetary policies. And when we get enough of a crisis, people are going to realize we cannot afford these entitlements we've promised for generation ahead. We cannot afford, 400% GDP of debt and 400% GDP entitlements. So we're going to have to restructure this, but nobody will do it until we realize it's just like labor unions. When they finally ruin an industry and it's going bankrupt, they finally say, okay, we'll take half our pensions.
Yes.
We're going to have to do that sort of thing. No candidate is seeing that. And again, I think the Republicans, I would agree with them more than the Democrats on economic policy, but I think they're naive to think, oh, if we lower taxes and invest more, very few companies need more capacity. They got more capacity than they need, and China's got more capacity than the rest of the world combined being unused. So this is not a time to invest in the future. It's a time to restructure the past so prices can come down, bubbles can burst, debt can be restructured and eliminated like in the 30s, and we can grow again. You have to do that first. You have to go through winter before you get to spring. That's my view.
Now, as you're talking about 2016, you're saying that 2016 is going to be one of the worst years. Why is that?
Well, we've had one bubble after the next crash. 2000 bubble in tech stock, crash. Then we had the 2007 bubble, crash. Stocks went even lower. Every bubble's taken us higher and every crash has taken us lower. Now we got what I call this final bubble because it's totally QE. It's totally artificial. It's not the economy causing this like in the past ones. And when this bubble bursts, it's going to be the last to burst and it's going to take us to even lower lows. So I think, and it's going to happen quickly. Bubbles burst rapidly as we just saw starting to happen in China. So I think, as a year from beginning to end, it'll be worse than the 70s, worst 70s crash. The 2000 crash, the 2008 crash, it'll be probably as bad as 1931. That was the worst down year for the entire last century. I think it's going to be like that, maybe worse.
And you have some credibility because you've been talking about crashes. You talked about the Japan crash and the real estate crash, and this is just another thing that you see coming down the pike.
Yeah, and we predicted 20 years ago when we saw Japan crashing, this was all because of demographics. Their baby boom was at a peak. They'd caused a bubble in stocks and a big bubble, even bigger bubble in real estate. Those things had to crash, and they did. But we predicted at the same time, no, Europe and the U.S., the rest of the world, would see the greatest boom in history, and it wouldn't end until 2007. And that's when we got in trouble. And that's when, ever since then, we've had endless QE just to keep a slowing economy barely alive. Without it, we were starting to go into a depression-like economy in 2008 before government stepped in and printed $10 to $12 trillion around the world. That's a lot of free money to offset a downturn. You can't do that forever, and it's starting to fail. I'm seeing all the signs that quantitative easing is finally failing. Even Mario Draghi said, I'm going to raise it. And then all of a sudden, nope, his board members said no. and the stock markets didn't like that. The Fed started tapering over a year, in 2014, and hasn't been printing money for over a year. So this is coming to an end, and I think it's going to come very abruptly. I tell people, in a bubble, and we're in another bubble, it's better to get out a little early than late, because when they crash at least twice as fast as they build, and they're already building exponentially. So this is a dangerous time, and I think most people are not going to see this coming.
And as you start off mentioning about all the free goodies we offer here in the United States of America, I want to get your opinion on free college tuition. We've seen President Obama come out and say, this is the way to get all the kids into the colleges, and then supposedly we're going to have some type of return on the investment. Do you see it that way?
Well, to be pragmatic, there's only so many jobs that really require that. Everybody can't have a college degree and everybody can't be a doctor. And the same thing in the world. Every country, most emerging countries, will never dominate computers and technology and healthcare and financial services and high-end things. There's only so many. So I think finding a way to lower college costs, because college costs are crazy. They're worse than healthcare. Would be good. But to say everybody gets a free college tuition, I hate to say it, it'd be a waste of money. And not everybody, the reason you have a lot of dropouts from high school into early college is a lot of people really can't handle the material. I hate to be that realistic, but it's just true. So I think that's kind of an idealist. I like in Europe, where they say for doctors, which are very high, they say we will pay your education costs, but you have to charge more, much more reasonable fees. So it's a win-win. It's a trade-off. That sort of thing can make sense. But to say everybody gets a free college tuition no matter what, I think that's naive.
Yes, yes. I want to ask you about investments. You know, a lot of people watching this, a lot of people don't have anything investments. They don't have anything even in the bank. So, you know, for somebody, let's say, you know, they're working, you know, a husband, wife, you know, they have four kids or whatever. What can they do to try to put some money away or have some investments?
Well, that is one of the problems. I'm talking about a big stock market crash, probably 70% in the next year and a half.
Oh, wow.
That's big.
Yeah.
So it's like 2008, but bigger. But most people don't have much money in the stock market, which is good in a way. But real estate is what counts for most people. A lot of people own a home, and some people own a vacation home or some rental properties or something. That's also at danger. We predicted the real estate crash in late 2005. We said this bubble is peaking, and nobody thought it was, just like the Japan thing. And it crashed, and a lot. That's where the everyday person got hit. If you can sell your home and rent instead, and I'm renting. I've been renting since late 2005. I've
really?
All of my own stuff, and I've saved a lot of money, and then wait to buy housing again, or let's say you're looking to retire. And you want to go from a 4,000 square foot home to a 2,000 square foot townhouse. Do that now. You just cut your exposure to real estate in half. So protecting yourself from a fall in real estate is the best thing. We tell people in general, this is unlike anything you'll see in your lifetime. Everything's going to go down like in 2008. It's a bubble in everything. Real estate, commodities, stocks, everything, even bonds. Everything goes down, so you're best to get in safe, liquid investments and wait for the bubble to crash and then start buying real estate, then start buying stocks again, then start buying gold. Gold is going to continue to crash. I hate to say this. People think it's a crisis hedge. It's an inflation hedge, and we're not seeing inflation. We're going to see deflation when all these bubbles unravel and money is destroyed.
All right, Mr. Dent, we have about 2 minutes left, so leave us with your final thoughts and also tell the people how they can keep up with your work.
Okay. Yeah, again, we only see it. We're in what I call the winter season. We just saw a fall boom. That's where you get the greatest bubbles, like in the Roaring Twenties. Well, the Roaring Twenties was followed by the Great Depression. And this is just how natural cycles go. Nobody likes winter. Nobody likes depressions. Nobody likes stocks crashes or recessions. But we have to have them. Winter clears the decks for the next spring boom. And we've got massive debt, as I said before, all around the world and bubbles and everything. The next generation is not going to afford to live, buy a house, get health care, invest in stocks if we keep these bubbles going. So we need this kind of restructuring. So this is going to happen whether we like it or not. All I tell people, you can prepare. If you get liquid, if you see this coming, and again, it's once in a lifetime. This is not something you do every time there's a stock correction. This is a once in a lifetime reset. Get safe. Protect the money you have in real estate, in stocks, or anything. Protect the money now. Preserve it. And when everything crashes, and I'm talking stocks go down 80% and things like this. Real estate goes down 50% or more. So we're going to see more real estate fall. If you can protect it and rebuy, that's how you make extreme wealth in a downturn like this. You don't buy it by trying to get better yield on a bond or find a stock that you think's better. All stocks are going to go down. Most real estate's going to go down. Gold's going to go down before it goes up again. So this is not the time to be in gold as well. So protect your assets, hunker down, cut your costs. Don't buy an expensive new car. Don't buy a new house right now. You know, if your kids in college, stay there. But once they get out, tell them to get in the workforce before things get worse. So just be cautious for once in your life. It will pay off.
Yes. And what are the websites and the contact information?
HarryDent.com. We're offering the demographic cliff for free, the updated version recently, all just $4.95 shipping. And I also have a free daily newsletter called Economy and Markets. Again, put in your website, free. So you can keep up with everything we're thinking. We have other services. We say, look, get to know us first. And these are two ways to get to know us.
All right. Thank you so much. Harry Dent, Dent Research. And that's it for our show tonight. I'm Jakari Jackson from the InfoWars Command Center. And we'll see you again on our next broadcast.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams a piece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.